Blog Talk Radio. Sunday before Thanksgiving, we can all come back and talk about how stuffed we are next Sunday, still from Thanksgiving meal, if we're one of the fortunate ones that actually has the ability to enjoy and afford to have a hearty and happy Thanksgiving with our loved ones. Well, welcome and good evening, everyone. This is Sunday, and it's November 18th, 2018. Thank you so much, once again, for tuning in to TNT Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told on the legendary Marty Oakley's TS Radio Network. Also, thank you to Stephen Burke of KLRB 89.9 FM in Oklahoma, for broadcasting us live 3 out of 4 weeks a month, recognizing that on the third week of each month, there is ministering that's taking place or at a local prison in Oklahoma, and that's a pretty darn good reason why he's not able to be broadcasting live, because it's a small station, but it does reach a good portion of Oklahoma, and it is a Christian radio, which we can all appreciate. Also, thank you to Randall Stone, who rebroadcasts Marty Oakley's network on Today's Voice Radio, as well as several other networks and popular hosts that do such a great job with their podcast with integrity. So we can't thank the people enough that appreciate and value the work that we do here, including Randall also as an advocate, and he's a vet as well. And tonight, as we know, this is a story. This is the truth about a veteran who was on with us last week with two other veterans, sharing portions of their issues with some corruption and abuse that's gone on with them, in particular in Oklahoma. This means now that the word is spreading and the value that we bring and having you listeners on, and anybody who's new, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for giving us a chance. And continue tuning in, and please share with other people that you think that this will be of interest to, as we continue to expose the corruption, which I do not use that word lightly, that exists throughout our country. But as our listeners know, this is a lot about Oklahoma, and there's a reason behind that. I'd like to remind everybody, and I just posted it on Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed Facebook page and Journeys to Justice Facebook page about the annual Whistleblowers Summit. Every summer, there is a Whistleblowers Summit. I don't want to spend too much time talking about it tonight, because every moment that we have Vince and our guest is extremely valuable, but we are doing a 90-minute show tonight, so I want to use as much of that time as possible with Vince. To please check out the Whistleblower Summit. It's free to attend. It's several days where you will meet people that have exposed corruption, but not only that, they've won major cases. You will meet advocates such as myself, such as Marty Oakley, who has a permanent spot at the Whistleblower Summit, which means that she has a forum. Last year was her second year there, and it was standing room only, and it's on guardianship abuse. Standing room only. This is in D.C. These are in the same buildings that our senators sit in. It's just such an amazing experience. Please look it up. It's free to attend. You just need to get there. Very, very important. I can't emphasize that enough. I'm going to keep emphasizing it because I can't emphasize it enough. So mark your calendars. Look it up. I'm Tanya Hathaway, and I'm your host of TNT Tanya Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to give, and I do not give legal advice. My platform on TS Radio Network is to provide victims and others a voice that have been suppressed by the judiciary, legal, government system, where they have been denied due process and more. All guests are thoroughly vetted, yet TS Radio, TS Radio Network, KLRB 89.9, Stephen Burke, Randall Stone of Today's Voice Radio 24/7, and any other affiliates that rebroadcast do not accept any liability for any inaccuracy or statements or opinions that are made. We just can't. But we can assure you that the guests here are well vetted and qualified to be here and talk with us. I want to encourage all of our listeners to call in if you know anything about this process and if you have been a victim or are a victim. Because if you have been, that means you are a victim of corruption. But tonight, it is about veterans being abused in the system. 917-388-4520. When the system picks up, please press 1. And if we can get you on, we will. My email address is injusticeinoklahoma@gmail.com. Pretty easy to remember, injusticeinoklahoma@gmail.com. Please tell me your story. If you're an advocate, if you're somebody that can help, please, let's talk. Tell me your story. Civil Rights, 42 U.S.C., 1983. Okay, I'm going to share this, if I remember, every podcast that we have, because I think this is a very important law. It's a very important statute all to remember. Under the color of law, it is a crime for one or more persons using power by a governmental agency, whether it's local, state, or federal, to deprive or conspire willfully to deprive another person or of any right protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. Well, you may be thinking, yeah, but the judge. Well, guess what? Or yeah, but the attorney. But yeah, but the judge, let's talk about that for a moment. Sure, judges do have what's called qualified immunity. That's not immunity across the table. The defense of qualified immunity protects government officials, from liability for civil damages insofar as their conduct does not violate clearly established statutes or constitutional rights of which a reasonable person would have known. So the judge is supposed to be a reasonable person, right? He's on the bench. The judge knows where he can go or she can go for the statutes which he or she is supposed to follow. If they don't know it by heart, they do their homework, just like any good attorney is supposed to do, and apply it accordingly. Our constitutional rights. Well, that's pretty easy to look up. That's pretty easy to know. So each state has their own constitutional rights, but when something goes federal, hey, we've got our constitutional rights that must be followed. So not all cases go federal, but we can certainly try to have them tried in federal court. It's really important to know that if you're one of these people, like Vince Wilmoth, who is joining us tonight, that refuses to be put in a cage and told that he's the bad guy, when the reality is that he is the farthest thing from the bad guy, then we must stand up. Beside, not behind, not in front, but beside those people like him, like others that have come on my show, like James Treat, who is winning in Calvin, Oklahoma. He's winning. I just had a great conversation with him today. He is winning. You just wait for that update. We've had some great people on this show that continue to fight their fight. And tonight, I have the honor to introduce again Vince Wilmoth, where we're going to share his story, and we're going to start out right now with why he needs our support and people in Oklahoma. We need you to show up for him. Veterans, this is a call out to you. People who love veterans, this is a call out to you. People who believe in our constitutional rights and due process, this is a call out to you. People that can't stand the fact a veteran or any veterans that stand to fight for the freedoms of us, they don't sit there and think, oh, well, let me see, is that person a Republican or Democrat, or are they Green Tea Party, or you know, are they, what color are they, or what gender are they? They stand up and they fight for our country, knowing they could lose their life. I'm asking you all to listen in. And with that being said, Vince, how you doing tonight? Thank you so much for joining in.
Thank you so much, and your lead in, and thank your listeners. Overwhelmed just by what you said. And I'm
sorry.
Think of veterans. I'm overwhelmed by what you were just saying, and the overwhelming is just thinking of veterans as a whole, and the state of Oklahoma, and what we do to people here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for standing up and out. And you're going to be sharing some things tonight that you've never shared before publicly. And I'm going to start out by asking you, how do you feel about sharing things publicly that you are going to be disclosing tonight?
It's really weird. 15, 20 years ago, I was a national speaker on juvenile justice and adolescence.
I'm going to ask you to speak up just a little bit more to make sure, maybe it's just me, but I want to make sure our listeners can hear you loud and clear, unlike last week when we had some interference.
15-20 years ago, I was a national speaker for 7 years, going around the country speaking on juvenile justice and adolescence and helping kids on reservations. But I never have spoken about myself. So I find that a little bit strange. And even with my closest friends and family that know me, know that I do a lot in fighting for others, but I stand up for myself is really weird, and to have people involved is even weird.
There are a lot of us that can understand that. We're not in your shoes, but sometimes it's easier to be rallying for other people than it is for ourselves, because many people that are abused in the manner that you have been, and to top it off, you're a vet who experiences, as you have willingly disclosed, PTSD.
Yes,
it's kind of hard to talk about your own stuff, but it's easier to stand by other people. I bet a lot of people are nodding their heads in agreement.
It's one of those incidents where you just think, this can't happen to me. You know, and unless it has happened to you, then you really go, wow. And that's the only way I can start, is it employed by the VA 30 years ago, 35 years ago, and it helped veterans for all these years in building DAVs, to filing benefits, to standing up for homeless. But I never thought that just 2 years ago that my life would, you know, change overnight by a phone call. And then all I can say is that, you know, I went to the Veterans Administration for an appointment, PTSD group, arrested by a SWAT team. And within 5 minutes after arriving at the hospital, and the reason I'm jumping that quick, because it's really hard to get to that part, because in the next 2 years was defending why they arrested me and what happened.
Okay. So, all right. I am going to intervene here just very briefly, and we'll get back to that. Listeners, Vince has a court hearing on December 4th, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll get back, and we'll talk about the other as well. So December 4th, can you tell our listeners what time, what courtroom, in front of what judge? And then we'll jump back to that.
In South Shaw, Oklahoma, the court order that they put me under was from Judge Waters, but he took himself off the case when we were in court 2 weeks ago. He put himself back on the case 3 times. So I don't know if Judge Waters will be the judge when I go in there on December 4th or whether they have a new judge. I always thought when a judge accused himself that it was over, but evidently not with him.
Well, and once again, you know, we're dealing with a state that has a tendency more often than not to write their own rules, because there are certain people, most people will not stand up against the ones that are writing their own rules, because they're supported by much, not all, of the government there's special interests going on. There's allies. There's a buddy system. There's a good old boys club and girls club. And so we'll get deeper into that. So then the best thing to do, we're gonna make an outreach now and towards the end of the show, listeners. So where you'll hear more about why we're asking for court watchers, for advocates, for people to come in with their pen and paper and sit on the side of Vince, okay, and show support. When judges see that there are a bunch of people sitting on the side, they want to know, well, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Y'all sit there and you pay attention, please. We need you. We need the court to be intimidated by you, if that's at all possible. knowing that Vince Wilmoth has support on his side for the atrocities that have taken place over the last couple of years, laying on a concrete floor with feces, with urine, bare naked, being beaten to oblivion, being ripped out of his cell, told he has to fight another inmate for his life for entertainment, quote unquote. You can hear more about that. Okay, so the name of the case number will be, just in case we have no idea because the judges are playing musical chairs here, and I'm sorry, I'm really upset with this, listeners. I'm really upset. I need you to stand by Vince, okay? I'm really upset. I kind of feel like Judge Judy. Ooh, wouldn't that be great if I could be half of what she is? I need you to listen to this podcast tonight. I need you to be willing to stand by him and show up in this courtroom, and we don't know which one it's going to be, but it is captioned under the name of, and what court is it again?
Southside District Court.
Southside.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Southside. Sequoia County.
This is in Oklahoma, listeners.
This also goes back, you know, we talked about this last week, that anybody can make a complaint about anybody on the street, and they can arrest you.
I need to know what time this
part of that
is first.
Excuse me?
I need to know what time this trial is.
I believe it's at 11 o'clock on the 4th.
11 o'clock on December 4th.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right.
But I was going to go back to the arrest at the VA hospital. That was a word-of-mouth arrest. Someone makes a complaint about you. You've not done anything, but police react to what that person has reported, and that's why I was arrested. Did not know that at the time of the arrest, and I knew that my rights at 72 hours, they had to charge me and let me have a phone call. So 5 days went by. And that's when I started kicking on the door. And that's when everything started.
So you were arrested for, what is this hearing for? Let's tell our listeners what this hearing is for.
This hearing that I'm going to have on the 4th is dismissed. A check filed on me about 2 months ago. They're going to an AA meeting. Not me personally. They're going into a parking lot of an AA meeting. And they've actually filed 2 warrants on me. I came all the way back from Seattle, Washington. They had me on a charge of stalking on a computer, which I know nothing about a computer. They dropped that the day I got back. And then they wrote up the second charge of violating a protective order that they said was a vocal, where it wasn't written down, by the judge for a 3-year verbal protective order not to go to a whole town.
Not to go where?
To a whole town, the town of Muldrow. And that goes back to an old law about keeping people out of one county. And so it forced a law on me. I was about 100 years old, telling me that I could not go in this one whole county, which I reside right on the side of it.
One whole county or one whole town?
Well, the whole town goes to Fort Smith, and you have to go through Muldrow to go to Fort Smith. There's only one highway. That's through the middle of it. And I was denied that whole town and access to wherever that took me.
Verbally?
Yes, ma'am.
Verbally.
And then I was at the same time they did that, they put a leg brace on me, a metal leg brace.
What is it that you were going through that town for? And what is it that how is it that you were targeted? How did they see that you're going through this town on a verbal court order from the judge?
Yes, ma'am.
I've been
in jail for 89 days and 30 days in DOC in Arkansas. And
what is DOC? Can you tell our listeners?
They made another false charge on me in Arkansas. while all this was going on, while I was locked up, saying that I had actually stabbed two people. And so I was taken to Pulaski County, Arkansas, in Little Rock, Arkansas, where I was held in DOC for 30 days waiting on a hearing.
Department of Corrections, listeners.
None of it was true. That same thing was reported back in Oklahoma. They knew it wasn't. They charged me. And then they just kept charging me with more charges and more charges. And when it was all over, there was 9 charges complete. When it started out as a misdemeanor protective order about going in a parking lot.
And those charges were ultimately dropped against you, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
But
so
what I went through to get those charges dropped were, I wouldn't recommend anybody go through it.
Okay, so you were exonerated from these charges.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am. And they knew when they arrested me. They didn't know if this one violation that my ex-wife said about me was true, but halfway into my incarceration, they knew all the charges were not true, and they didn't know what to do. So they didn't let me out. They had no bond. And then I finally get about 5 weeks into this ordeal. I've been beaten, tasered, in fights with other inmates. And
okay, so let's talk about this, since we're on this subject, okay, because your story has layers and layers to it. But I want you to tell us, please, just what you mean about these 9 charges, and you wouldn't recommend that anybody go through it, exactly where this happened to you, why you were, and the charges that were against you, and why it is that you're innocent from it, and what happened to you while you were in prison.
Okay. The day I was arrested, they immediately, SWAT team took me in an ambulance to the hospital, from one hospital to another hospital. They had blood work done on me immediately. They took my blood and a urine sample. 4 hours later, they did it again, and they held me for 9 hours. I was interviewed by 3 different people, and then I went in front of a judge that night, about 10 o'clock at night. And the judge said, your urine's clean, your blood's clean, you have no drugs in your system. And that was the complaint, one of the complaints. The other thing the judge told me that night was for me to run. Now, the VA hospital called people that had me arrested and said, why did you have this man arrested?
I need to hear you more. Come up to the mic more or the phone line.
They emergency room, they brought me in. They brought me in a 5-point restraint. On a board.
Where is it?
At the Veterans Hospital in Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Okay. Veterans Hospital in Muskogee. Listeners, anybody who knows anything about the Veterans Hospital in Muskogee, Oklahoma, where you have had or think you might have had bad treatment there, I want you to be in touch with us, please. Okay? So this is at the Veterans Hospital in Muskogee, Oklahoma, that you were brought in by the police in 5-point restraints. What does that mean?
That means they put you on a board and they put a strap around your ankles, one around your knees, one around your waist, your wrist, your chest, up to your shoulders.
Okay, and they thought you were, they thought that you were potentially dangerous to yourself, them, or society, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I had to see 3 different psychiatrists, so they'd ask Vince, can you spell this word? And I'd spell it backwards, and they'd ask me the date and time, place, and all the stuff you would ask, and actually get more information than they really needed. And then I spoke to the judge, and when the drug tests all came back negative, especially the second one, the doctors all came back and wrote a report that I was sane, in total control, wasn't a threat to anybody. So they called.
So why were you arrested?
On a false complaint.
And what was that complaint?
My wife made a false complaint that I was a threat to society and that I wasn't taking medications and was using drugs. And because I was 100% veteran for PTSD, they took that threat as, I mean, they took that as they had to do something. And
okay.
I didn't know about that law. And so once I was released that night at the VA hospital, she had gone to the South Sault Sheriff's Department. And so they rearrested me on the same thing.
Okay, so can I ask you this question? Because I have to think, quite a listenership here, all right? People from across the country, and a great concentration coming from Oklahoma as well. Thank you, Stephen Burke. So is it fair to say that there are times when a veteran with PTSD is not safe to society, and when somebody calls in, it should be taken seriously? So it should. Do you think it should always be taken seriously, but yet, when you have the veteran in custody, you don't treat them with abuse. You want to make sure they're not a threat to themselves. You want to make sure they're not a threat to their family, to their loved ones, to civilians, and a society. So are you okay with that overall, the phone call? Just like if you saw somebody on a bridge that was going to jump, calling the police. I think this person is going to jump. You're okay with the phone call, but it's how they treated you and what happened as a result. That's the issue. Am I correct without putting words in your mouth?
Yes. And I agree. Them arresting me, I could see that. What happened that day, and being released eight and a half, nine hours later, being released. I wasn't happy that I was arrested, and nobody told me at the time of the arrest, or even the time when the judge released me, why I had been arrested. I had no idea up to that point. When I was rearrested by the sheriff's office, that's when I'm in jail for 8 days, and after 5 days of being in jail the second time, I start kicking on the door. I was like, I want my phone call. I know my rights, 72 hours. They wouldn't do it. The door one more time, I kicked it. And just like they always tell you, here comes three jailers inside. I'm in isolation. I'm in a solitary confinement.
Okay, so hold on. And I know, I'm sorry, because I know that you do have PTSD. Okay, I'm sorry. I want to make sure that our listeners are understanding all of this as we go through it. And let me know if you just need to get it out and you interrupt me. This is your show right now, okay? I just want to make sure we're as effective as we can be right here. All right, so you were arrested. They released you. Then you were rearrested for what, Vince? And when I'm asking you these certain questions, I'm not asking you in a conference. I don't mean them to sound confrontational. I want to make sure that we're answering any questions that might be looming in somebody else's mind, as we're sharing.
They rearrested me for the same thing. She went, when she left the Veterans Hospital that morning, she went to Bayan, the town that I live in, a little town, about 400 people, and went to the police station and told them the same thing. Then she went to the county seat, the sheriff's office, and told them the same thing. So she told three agencies within an hour the same story, that I was a threat to society and that I was on drugs. Neither one of those were true. The second time they arrested me, after 5 days of being in isolation in an old gun cell, like I said, with feces coming up through the floor, not knowing why I'm in there, I checked the door. They came in. They checked the door again. I said, I need a phone call. I've been here 5 days. My family didn't know where I was at. My friends didn't know where I was at. They closed the door. I kicked it again, and they came in. And just to be honest, they just beat the living hell out of me. When I got done, I ended up in chains. I ended up in chains and a three-point harness and a metal chair with my arms behind my back, not chained to the chair, but behind the chair.
And how many people were kicking the hell out of you, Vince?
Four.
There were four corrections officers.
Yes, even after they put waist cuffs on me, handcuffs, and ankle bracelets, they were still beating me.
They were still beating you. Do you remember the size of these guys? Do you know
every
their names? Okay, do you remember them? they're burnt into your memory.
I had to ask another inmate who would come in to see if I was okay now and then. And when he cracked the door a couple inches, I'd point and ask him who that guard was. And he would write it down. And I had a Bible. And the only thing I had, and he'd give me a little pencil, and I'd write their name down real fast. So every shift that would come in, that one of them had beat me, and he would come and check on me every, probably day and a half to 2 days. I would write their names down.
All right. Tell me, when you say they beat you, and you don't have to, anything that you don't want to answer or you're feeling too uptight about, or, you know, if you're being totally triggered or halfway, whatever, it's up to you whether you answer the question or not. If it's not good, you just say, hey, I can't right now.
I never threw a punch. I never threw an elbow. I never kicked anybody. Through 3 beatings, I never resisted one.
Are you there? Can I hear you?
Yes.
So
I never resisted.
There was nothing to resist. They had you cuffed. They had you. Were you wearing clothes at this point?
No, ma'am.
They stripped you of your clothes.
They took my clothes the whole time I was in there. And then they finally said I was suicidal when they brought me to the hospital the first time. Beat up. They said I was beating my head against the wall. But my whole body had bruises.
This is after they beat you up, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so let's go back to... I'm sorry. This is awful. But I want our listeners and anybody who is going to hear this rebroadcast, I want them to listen to the gravity of the abuse that you endured in this jail cell, and then we'll move on to when you were in isolation, okay? You were in this jail cell by yourself?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
For 8 days.
And this is before you were in isolation?
I'm in isolation. The day they bring me in, the first day, I'm in isolation. I'm separated from the rest.
Okay. So you have 4 correction officers. After you beat on the door, kicked the door, when you said you knew your rights, you want to make a phone call, when it's beyond the time that you are supposed to be able to make a phone call. So,
yes, ma'am.
Explain what it was like when 4 of them walked in, what they did to you, where they kicked you, how they kicked you, how hard, how they acted towards you when they were doing it, and what you did, and your vital.
They had me naked, and they pepper sprayed me from head to toe. And 3 of them started putting chains on me, bring me down to the ground, and I wouldn't bend my body. I wouldn't bend my arms. I wouldn't bend my knees. And these are big guards trying to get 3 men trying to get 1 man down to the ground.
Are they all bigger than you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. So the 4th one came in, and they got the chains on me. And finally, the 4th one picked up my left leg a little bit, about 2 inches off the ground, where I'm just standing on 1 foot. And I'm chained. And my face went face first with all 4 of them into the concrete. And
your face was towards the ground.
Face first into the concrete, yes, ma'am. By all 4 of them. And then beat with elbows and rubbed your face. You know, the deal, pepper sprayed again, tasered. This is where it gets really bad. They throw me back into the isolation cell, and they take a whole can. Now, this can's about 22, 24 ounces. It's a big can. And they douse me in it. I'm dripping in it from head to toe.
What's in it?
It looks like soap, but it's pepper spray, 22. I'm covered naked, feet, and they spray it all over the floor and in the air like aerosol can. And they put a towel underneath the door and close the cell door. They left me in there. They come back about 2 hours later, and they take a little fan, and they put it underneath a crack in the door, and they blow more in on me, and they leave me in there. And they're laughing on the other side of the door. They're playing rap
music.
They're
laughing.
They're laughing.
Did they say anything to you, to mock you, to...
They would say, you're not a veteran. I can't even say what they would call me as a veteran, what they said I did as a veteran, and then... I was scum of the earth, and, you know, I can't tell you what they said, degrading, too degrading.
Okay.
And, so they opened the door up the next day. My lungs are filled. I can't see, and my hair turns orange from the pepper spray. My face is burnt red. Looks like I've been under a suntan lamp for hours, and I'm burnt from the pepper spray. And that's how they brought me up to court. That was the first time.
Okay. I'm sorry to ask you to relive that, but I really am. But I think it's important for our listeners to hear this.
So they
now
they released,
up until go ahead.
My lawyer standing in the courtroom and my family, 20 veterans, and they gasped when I walked in, and they had no charges. And they released me. My parents drive me home. I'm 45 minutes from the courthouse. Get to my home. They pull in my driveway, and two police officers pull behind my parents' vehicle. And when I get out, a sheriff walks up to me, hands me a charge with no charge on it, and says, "You have to appear in court tomorrow morning." I haven't been home in my driveway 2 minutes. Morning, they arrest me.
What was that? Okay, but wait a minute. So how many days were you at that particular jail? This was jail, not prison at this point, because it was
right.
Basically a holding cell for you, right? And this was at, hold on a second, I want to repeat the name of this jail over and over again so that our listeners can pay close attention to it. The name of this jail was?
Southsaw County, Sequoia County. Courthouse, Southsaw County Jail.
Southsaw County Jail, Sequoia County Courthouse, okay. So
now,
how many days were you there for before you were brought in front of the judge and then there was no charges?
Yes, ma'am, 8 days, no charges. And released and then rearrested the next day.
And
that's
what
where I spent
is
eight.
It that you were rearrested for?
Tell us. We didn't even know I was going to be rearrested when I went back to court the next morning. We didn't even know why the sheriff came back in my driveway and followed me home. They were just making up a charge. And so.
So I just want you to know, somebody asked me just now, and this is another victim who has been on the show. He just said, would it be helpful or hurtful to have people show up to this hearing on the 4th? If so, I can try to show for support. What is your reply to this person?
Okay, when I was first arrested, all my veteran buddies showed up, and my whole family, maybe 25 to 30 people came to every one of my courts. The more they kept postponing it, the next time 20 people showed up. 4 months later, 10 people showed up. Well, it's been 2 years. My cousin who's sitting next to me was the only one who showed up last time.
So that's what they're hoping for. For people to,
yes,
just, you know, to die off. Let's put it off. Let's
shocked.
Put it off.
They were shocked the first and second time my friends and family came to court with me. All my veteran buddies. They were just amazed. The whole hallway was full. But,
okay.
Boy, they kept delaying.
So the answer is, do you want people to show up December 4th in support,
yes,
of,
ma'am,
you?
I would love them to.
Please, listeners, okay, this is going to be posted both on ppjg.me, the link that you might have connected to this show, all right, in the comment section. This is going to be in there, as well as on Facebook page, Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed. There's two pages, okay? One that I was hacked from, where I had a few thousand people that were a part of this very active group. I'm not going to post there because guess what? I don't have access to that right now. And Facebook certainly is not helping me with that because their agenda is a little bit different than mine. But I did start another one, Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed, And it's the one where I'm wearing a bandana, okay? In case you look it up, it's the one where I'm wearing a bandana. And go to that page, and this information will be there, as well as another page that I opened up real quick after being hacked because of some very prominent people being exposed that have ways of continuing to suppress the truth. Go to, and who knows, I mean, maybe I'm making it worse now, but go to Journeys to Justice Facebook page. It will also be, that information will be put there. And if there are any changes at all with that December 4th court date, we'll be sure to let you know the moment we know by following these pages. You don't have to be, you don't have to say like or not if you don't want people to know, okay, that you're there. But you can certainly follow it if you want. I might invite you to like it. I might invite you to share this because we need to rebuild and build the base. Okay? So the answer is yes. Thank you, David, for that message. We need people there. We have had people show up in court before and have had court not only rescheduled but dismissed. And we need to actually do better than that, though, because it is the corruptors that continue to make this happen. And there's so many veterans and so many civilians out there being abused, being denied their human and civil rights in the quote-unquote legal system. And not everybody will stand up as strong as what we're hearing on this show. And there's no judgment there because, my God, it is scary as can be to come out.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to share this last part while I was just on while I'm thinking about it right now.
Sure.
You know, and it goes back to the VA. My last beating was so bad that when they brought me to the hospital cell, so the first thing they asked me when they got me there was, "Vince, who beat you?" And I had two or three guards standing over me, and I'm chained again. I can't walk this time. They have broken bones. And they take me back to the VA hospital in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and they take me right back to the same people that sent me to the police. So I actually leave the county jail on the third beating in such bad shape. They bring me back to the VA, to the same people that put me there. And so for 4 days, I laid on a floor, again on a floor, in a veterans hospital, disabled veteran, PTSD, brain trauma, and they didn't give me an aspirin. They actually got tasered by the sheriff's office in the VA hospital, and they brought me back to the sheriff's office jail 4 days later. And you wonder, how could they do that? Now they both know I'm innocent, but I've been beaten and locked up. And nobody wants to say, "We're sorry or we're wrong." They just want me to go away. And I said, "No. No. And you can't do this to somebody and just ask them to walk away. No, nobody deserves this. It doesn't matter if you're a career criminal, you don't deserve this. It breaks every moral fabric of our justice system, of what we're supposed to believe in. And when we see these police officers, now how are you supposed to look at them? Got them the same anymore?
Okay.
It made me nervous. It's affected me. And then fighting the PA through this, I didn't know that it would lead all the way to our congressman and to the White House. And that's how far this case went. And nobody has said they're sorry yet. Yet they know they've broken every civil right and every one of my disability rights that you can break. They've smashed them. because I spoke up. It's made it worse.
Okay. Are you
Yes.
there?
Yes.
Okay. David, so you're on. Vince, stay right here. David, you've been listening. I want to hear your comments, what you have to say with this so far. And Vince, we're staying with you. Don't worry, but it's really important to have other veterans be here in support of each other. And David is dealing with this in Oklahoma, right there with you in his own manner, as you heard part of last week. So, David, what do you have to say about this? And can you please share with us what your updates are with your case? And Vince, this will also help give you just a break for a moment. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for showing interest in what's going on with Vince. And let us know where you're at right now with your case and what you're looking for and how to follow up with you. Thank you for calling in. David, are you there?
All right, can you hear me?
Can you hear?
I can hear you now. Yes, great.
Oh, okay, great. Sorry, I've been on mute there, and I didn't know it.
Okay, you're unmuted. You're unmuted.
I just wanted to thank you and the listeners for tuning in and doing anything and everything y'all can to help. We need support watchers more than anything. This stuff, when it's done in ex parte courtrooms and nobody's there, they get away with what they want to get away with. It's just a shame. I know what he's talking about is true, because when I went to court down in Comanche County Courthouse last Friday, me and my doctor friend went down there, and we went down there and got up down there about an hour and a half early, and we're getting off the ramp, and my legal shield attorney, Gary Woods, decides to give me a phone call, or give Dr. White a phone call. We had left a message with
Dr.
Gary
White
Woods
was on with us last weekend, you guys. Can you tell our listeners who Dr. White is, just briefly, so our listeners that don't know?
Dr. White's a Navy SEAL veteran friend of mine, and
okay.
Yeah, he calls them up, and we're getting off the ramp, literally, to go in, to go to the courthouse, and tells us we don't have court that day until five hours later. So I thought, wow, that's kind of odd. When he was talking about how they changed the time and stuff on him, I thought, wow, that's kind of odd, too, and familiar. That way you don't have any court supporters there, you know?
Right.
And just baffled me, and I think everybody knows it's not like it goes over the courthouse, it's just for all, not right over all the courthouse. A lot of times it depends how much money you can pay and who you know and stuff in this country, and it's not supposed to be that way. It just makes me sick, man, when I think of all these people that take an oath. I heard someone say that they sleep better because of veterans, and I thought, boy, I don't personally sleep better because of the military or the police.
Stay close up to the phone so we can hear you, please. We want to hear you.
Yeah.
All right, I thought you were going. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they got down there about 8:30 or so in the morning, and they had rescheduled court to 2:30 in the afternoon that day. And it's kind of ironic they didn't tell us till that morning.
Who was it that rescheduled?
That's what I'd like to know, because when I looked it up just a few days before, it was supposed to start at 10:15 in the morning, and they weren't starting until 2:30 in the morning. I mean, 2:30 in the afternoon that day. And my attorney didn't do what I told him to do. I told him I wanted them buying both cases because I'd had two cases, and he didn't listen to me there. So now I got to go back to court on Monday on the other case. The good thing is, in my case so far, I thought it's ridiculous they're doing this to a mentally retarded or special needs person like my brother that's got a high IQ, which they admitted, and he works at Goodwill down there a lot in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, which is normally where.
And the disability is his verbal ability to communicate to other people, but the person that he can communicate with fluently is with you. The only person in this world that your brother can communicate with fluently is you, and they took those rights away from your brother.
Yeah, matter of fact, he's still with the same agency, the guy that beat me up last Christmas. I swear I didn't lay hands on him. And,
if you want to name the agency, go ahead. It's up to you. As long as it's the truth, the way I look at it, and I'm not a lawyer, the way I look at it is let these people sue you for slander, because guess what? Or for libel, for slander, if we're talking about it, because that actually gives an opening to prove your matter, your case, to prove it's not slander. I can't tell you how many times I've called out people, go ahead, sue for slander. For libel. They won't. You want to know why? Because then you finally get to be heard.
Right. Yeah. Judge, the agency's name is called Excess Community or Community Excess in Lawton, Oklahoma. They're contracted with DHS, DDSD to take care of people like my brother. From a statute point of view, the attorney did a decent job, but he still wasn't there to protect our basic rights. Like my brother, I'm sure my brother's had 7 to 9 mental breakdowns since then at least, and he's with the same guy that beat me up last Christmas, Markel Brooks. And
Markel Brooks is who beat you up.
Yeah, and the judge had already made up her mind. Judge Swan, I think's her name, something like that. Sounds like Swan. So it's probably said a little better, spelled a little different there in Lawton, Oklahoma. But she had already made up her mind, even though it sounded.
You there?
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Tiny, may I throw something in real quick while I have it on my brain?
Yeah, please do, and we're going to get back to you.
I want to tell you real quick, when I was arrested that second time, we had no sheriff.
So you were arrested without a sheriff, so who was it who did the arresting?
A deputy that they put in his place for a couple weeks.
Okay. All right, so... David, are you there? Because I'm going to ask you to give the name of the county. See, this is the problem, listeners, is the courts play games with you. The attorneys play games with you. Not all judges are bad. Not all attorneys are bad. But listen up. These attorneys, for the most part, if you've got a local attorney, they're in front of the same judges all the time. So, you know, they want to really be on the good side of the judge. And if you're on the wrong side, of the alliances that are directly connected to these judges and these prosecutors and all this stuff, then guess what? You know, if your attorney really wants to help you, he might really want to, but he's not going to follow his oath in cases where they don't. they're going to follow their need to support their lifestyles, to support their families, to still have a job and not be blacklisted. This is Oklahoma. Does it happen in other places? Absolutely, yes. But Oklahoma is as skeptic as it can get.
That means lawyers going to lunches with the judges and going out to parties and Christmas parties together. These little towns in Oklahoma are very small. So even when me being a DA, people that worked at the sheriff's office had family that worked at the DA. People at the sheriff's office had people that were community. So when you're in a little tiny rural community in Oklahoma, you have people all outside the courthouse where if something is said about you or if somebody wants something done to you, they can have that done. And you won't be represented. And the buddy system goes on and on and on. And people,
or they'll take
donate.
Your money. They'll take your money. They'll just take your money, but they'll still they'll play the game because they don't want to be blacklisted. Listen, I have a source that sat in a diner 3 days a week and sat in the same seat for year after year after year. Who heard? The prosecutor and the police and the attorneys come to terms before they even went to court. And they would call, they would say, who's the next, excuse me, Christian radio, who's the next quote-unquote poor bastard going to be? All right?
Yes.
And you know what? That poor bastard, quote-unquote, was not a poor bastard before they showed up in court. That they saw what they could get from these people. They looked up. They know their assets because you have to fill out financial affidavits. So they knew what they could take from you. And so you were going to be that next poor bastard, okay, quote, unquote, when this is the case. Again, not all judges are that way. Not all attorneys are that way. Not all prosecutors are that way. But these are obviously illegal. These are ex parte predetermination, illegal ex parte, because there are legal ex parte meetings, but these are illegal ones that take place, and you don't know. You could be the next one in line, and you just don't even know it. You could be calling on an attorney to help make something wrong right, and they could be, like many of us have experienced, making it even worse. And then they start to create a narrative against you. Well, how many attorneys have you had? And, well, they're saying the same thing, and you just think that you're the victim, and blah, blah, blah. And they won't let you tell your story. They won't take your evidence. They won't list your exhibits. Or if they do, keep an eye on those dockets, because they will remove them as fast as they can.
In two years,
create a safety net for themselves.
In 2 years, Tanya, I've not got to say one word in court yet. I've not got to defend not one thing against myself. Not even up to today have I spoke one word yet.
In 2 years' time, this man has not been allowed to face his accusers and put them in the light that they deserve to be put in, because everybody there knows what the truth is. David, I want to make sure that you, if you're still there, I want to make sure that we know where you're going to be, and I want to share your Facebook page and site where this information is. Are you still there, David? Okay. So we'll follow up with him later, and I'll share it once again on my pages. David, thank you so much for calling, and I'm sorry we lost you somehow. All right.
The second part I want to talk about is I found out that the Veterans Court was twice as crooked as the state of Oklahoma. And I found out that was across the country, that veterans cannot make a complaint against the VA. It stops at the Advent General's office. And they will do the Advent General's office is a place where a veteran goes to file a complaint. Either they've waited too long for an appointment, or they're upset with a doctor, or they feel that they were just screwed in some form or fashion. You can go write a complaint. That complaint will go to what we call an Advent General, and they'll set up an appointment with you. That Advent General is a blocker. He's a judge that's sat there. There's usually three of them per hospital, maybe two. and they will listen to that complaint by the veteran, and they will try to make that complaint better. But that complaint won't go any further. It stops right there. But what goes further is
so it's like an ombudsman, right? Somebody that stands for your side.
Right. What happens, the Veterans Administration filed it. You filed a complaint. So it's a hash mark against you for saying, I disagree with this doctor of any recourse. So now, for filing that complaint, you actually get a double complaint against you. So you never want to go back to the Advent General's office and file a complaint against the VA. And most people will not. And what they do, when most people do, or a few people do, like myself, that's when you find out, okay, I'm past the Advent General's office. I'm working toward the administration of that veterans hospital to see someone in personnel that will hear this case. And that's what I walked into. And never in my wildest dreams you would run into people that would take your story, twist it, or hide it, or take files out, or even write files and put them in your file. And that's what I found out.
This is called retaliation. This
yes.
is retaliation for standing up for your rights. So listeners,
yes.
Anybody, okay, can you tell our listeners what counties you are near? You border Arkansas, do you?
The county that I live in, I have a home. I left the home. I still own it where all this took place and moved to another county, Muskogee County, which is where I live at right now in Muskogee, Fort Gibson, Oklahoma, just four or five miles from Muskogee.
And
yeah.
So this is where your hearings are, correct?
Back in the town where my other house is, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so listeners, I'm gonna do something that I should have done a long time ago. Anybody who is near or by Oklahoma, who is in Oklahoma, that has any, I know everybody's life is busy. People work. People have lots of obligations. But I'm gonna set up, and I'm gonna ask. You to help me set this up starting right now for a Court Watchers Coalition, CWC, okay? Court Watchers Coalition in Oklahoma, okay? If you are able and willing to give your time when you hear a story like this or you want to know about a story like this, that is in an area where you're able to show up, I'm going to ask you to email me at injusticeinoklahoma@gmail.com. And it doesn't mean just because you said that you are interested in this and that you want to be there and stand by people's side that you will be held to that every time there's a hearing or a trial in your area. It means if you can be there, you will be there in support of somebody that is going through the abuse and atrocities, such as what Vince is going through, such as what David is going through. David Bebout, who was just on, will have, and he's in queue. He wants to just share where he's going to be, such as what James Freet is going through, such as what David Arndt is going through, and such as what many of our listeners and guests have been going through. We are starting a Court Watchers and Advocate Coalition, injusticeinoklahoma@gmail.com. If you can be there, or even if you can't be there, if you want to know if there's something that you can do, if there is, we'll let you know. If you want to lend some expert opinions and advice, if you are an expert in psychology, if you are an expert in forensics, if you are a lawyer, but yet you know, if you just have some thoughts, please chime in behind the scenes. Anything that you say will be held confidential. We need you. We need to change this abuse around. Our veterans and civilians do not deserve to be abused. Some have lost their lives. Many have lost everything that they've had because they have been thieved. Yes, racketeering going on in our own court. Your court,
yes.
Oklahoma, racketeering. And that doggone Attorney General Mike Hunter refuses to accept proof of these crimes and many crimes, that this is going on in the very state that he has the most power to do anything, as well as Senator James Lankford in Washington,
yes.
D.C., refuses to accept any information, any proof that this is going on. Why is that?
Mark Wayne Mullins.
And Wayne Mullins. Who is Wayne Mullins? He's a congressman, right? No.
Yes, ma'am, in Muskogee, Oklahoma.
He's a congressman in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Why don't these people that are supposed to be there for you come forward for you? Damn it. The swamp is red. The swamp is blue. The swamp is green.
Yes.
Drain it. We need to speak up. It is time to speak up and not just nod your head that you're disgusted by it. We need to do more than wish for the best. We need to stand up for our veterans. We need to stand up for people that are laying in feces on concrete floors, naked, being kicked in the head. We need to stand up for people that judges and lawyers are stealing people's trust in the state. Yeah, yeah, they're lucky enough to have trust in the state to be stolen, right? Right? Good
yes.
people, hardworking people and families. It is time that we stand up and we see to it that these judges and the presiding judges that place these special judges into these courts because they will go along with their own personal agendas. There are judges that are living in deceit.
And that's why Oklahoma locks up more men and women than anybody in the United States.
Governor Fallon finally decides she's going to call it quits because she is bankrolled enough in her stock in the private prisons. Wouldn't you say? James Tree, are you on with us right now? Because I would like you to share with our listeners your philosophy on the facts of Oklahoma and why it is as bad as it is with this legal corruption and abuse. James Tree, are you on? I understand that you were at one point. Okay. Well, maybe he's not. If you're listening, James Street, please call in. Vince, we're going to have more time for you, as well as David Bavout.
I know that there's
David,
a lot to take in on my
right. Right. David, I'm messaging you this right now. David Bavout, it's not oklahomainjustice@gmail.com. It's injustice in Oklahoma. @gmail.com. Please, you guys, please. We need to hear from you. All right? We had another guest that is offering his support, who's been a guest, who is a victim as well, David Ernst. Thank you for coming forward. We need to know sometimes what it's like to be in this position. to need support. But please, take it from the people that you hear and see their proof firsthand. What happened? What's going on? Hey, listen, I'm not here by accident. My case didn't even belong in Oklahoma. Google New Hampshire woman takes on Oklahoma. There's my story. All right? There's mine.
It can happen to anybody, can't it, Tonya?
It can happen to anybody. And, you know, you can sit there and put it on a scale of 1 to 10. What's the most serious? Guess what? Everybody's lives are up
to you. When an innocent person goes to jail and they know about it, that's wrong.
And again, we go back to 1983 Civil Rights Act, 42 United States Code, 1983, qualified immunity. Okay? These judges are corrupt, do not have qualified immunity. If they're not allowing exculpatory evidence in their courtroom for their review, they're denying you process. What is exculpatory evidence? It is something that can show your innocence when you have been convicted of something.
They had my phone call records. They had my turnpike records. So they knew exactly where I was when they arrested me.
Okay, now because we're running out of time, I need you to, Marty, hey, can you add, can you let James Treat come into queue? I want him to tell our listeners something briefly, if you can let him in queue. And then I want to get back to you, Vince, and because I want our listeners to know there's something before December 4th that's coming out. And we're going to have you on again. It might be part of another show. You might be sharing that show with somebody. But we're going to have you on again before that. But I want the listeners to also know why it's important and why it's not just a divorce hearing. Okay? It's a lot more than just that. Why they need to also be there for you this coming Wednesday. Right?
Yes, ma'am. That was to have my divorce hearing, which I was telling you the other day, I wanted a hearing. I didn't want to just sign papers. I wanted a story to come out, and they tried. They stopped that. So.
Right. So you have a divorce hearing.
Yes, ma'am.
Your final divorce hearing. Now, we never even got into the question that many listeners might ask, but why was his wife doing that? Why was his wife reporting these things against you? And she's been your wife
for
39 years. And why did she?
Because
why
my son got out. My son got out of prison 2 years ago on July 4th and showed up at my house after 8 years. And my wife and my son.
They actually
almost killed me. 4 months out after he got out of prison, and then they turned that whole story about them almost killing me around backwards on me.
Right. They gaslighted you. They made it all about it's because of you. And what was your son in prison for?
For beating women and kicking their doors down. His fourth or fifth offense.
Okay.
We had no contact with him.
You had no contact with him
for 8 years on my door, July 4th, and 5 months later, all this happened.
And what turned your wife around? What kind of marriage was that she was wanting?
It was a good marriage for many years, and then the last seven, she had some psychological problems, and we had to try to get her admitted 4 or 5 times. When my son showed up, I didn't think much about it. I had no contact with my son. Didn't see him that day. But they started a relationship with each other. And she wanted the land, the house, the cars, my pension, my Social Security. And so they put a plan together to kill me. And they did. They literally implemented the plan and didn't kill me, but left me on the floor in blood, almost dead.
You guys, I don't think many people that listen to this show, I don't think that the typical listener is going to sit there and roll their eyes because they get it. They realize that this actually does happen, and that's why you're listening, or you're on the fence and really want to know more. Well, guess what? This is very true. This is very real. Vince and I have been communicating for going on 2 years now about his case. I've seen his documents. More will be shared. There are so many to be shared. It's like you don't want to be overwhelmed at once, but also it's some of it for the integrity of Vince's case and for his own safety. Some of it has to be held back, or we need to blackline some things. I've seen it all, or not all. I'm sure I haven't seen it all, but I've seen a lot of it. And Vince's story has never, ever wavered. You know, we had a lapse of time where, you know, we still connected with each other, but we weren't actually, you know, talking necessarily about his case in an ongoing way. His story has never, ever wavered. And not only that, he has supplied me with a multitude of documents that do support his story, that are legitimate documents on the VA paper, on doctor's reports, on court reports, on court documents, and sometimes OSDN, which is the court documents in Oklahoma. So if you search OSCN court cases, and then you look at the county, or you look and see if it's in appeals or whatever it is, you can search these different cases. But I can attest to you, as in mine, which didn't belong in Oklahoma, I've never lived there, there was no subject matter jurisdiction, but these things can be tampered with, even though they say nobody can actually tamper with the records. It's impossible. It is possible. It is proven, and it happens on a very regular basis. So, you can look up these court cases, okay, with Vince's name, but don't necessarily believe that everything that you see there is accurate or that the full story is being told, okay? Because if they are repressing and suppressing your truth, then it won't be there.
Correct.
Or it won't all be there. Am I right?
Correct. Very.
Okay.
And the reason I
okay.
talk about my wife and my son, the night that they almost killed me, I crawled, you know, to the phone for help when my wife said out loud, I did it. I had him do it. And when your wife of 36 years, when you're on the floor, almost totally unconscious, covered in blood, and your wife just tells you she had her son come to your house to kill you, I don't know how anybody else would handle it, but it didn't do was call the police. I called the fireman, and he showed up immediately. And like I said, my son went to my parents' house covered in blood, so I think I just killed my dad. And I didn't report it. And I should have.
Your son.
But
yeah,
it was my wife and my son. And I shared that same house with her for 7 days after that. And so, yes, I'd like to get on the stand and tell my story. Because nobody's
right,
heard it.
Instead of just signing the papers, right. So can you share with our listeners, please, where this first divorce trial.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Yes,
is
ma'am.
This coming Wednesday, and I'm going to ask you to post this information on Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed Facebook page or to send it to me. Once again, the case number as well, I'll get that link up to it, and where people can be. You're gonna see some horrific situations. I mean, they allowed a transition of a vehicle that you had paid for in full in your name only to be given away before there was any kind of divorce decree or anything. I mean, he's had so much stolen from him. His dignity, this humility, personal property is
being left for dead.
We can't work on you because there's a red flag on your file that was, by the way, wrongfully put there because this is retaliation. Man is sitting there dying, and they refuse to work on him because there's a red flag on the file, wrongfully placed because you're considered a danger to society.
Yes. And I'm marked for 2 years by law enforcement and the Veterans Administration. I'm one of those people that if I get pulled over, I can be an accident.
And you can be an accident, right. And this made it as far as Washington, D.C. as well. Given the fact that we only have a couple minutes left in the show.
After my second hearing, they went to an outside hearing with Mark Wayne Mullen's attorneys where he denied my tort claim. Wayne Mullen's, a plumber, denied my tort claim and didn't even read the case and didn't even get the file from the VA. I was beside myself, and I said, I'm going to go higher. What ended up happening was I went all the way to Shulkin, the Secretary of Veteran Affairs, and part of the process of myself with other veterans and pushing to have them removed from office. And it gets worse.
Okay, so listeners, we're out of time. We're out of time. But we've got a hearing on Wednesday in Muskogee Court, correct? Muskogee Court at what time, please?
11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock a.m. So normally most courts will have a piece of paper there where, which courtroom different matters are in. You look for the name Vince Wilmoth. And if it's not out there, you ask the clerk or one of the guards where you can find that. We need you this Wednesday.
Because if
please,
no one's there with me, I'll be the only one in the courthouse with my lawyer. They empty the courthouse when I come for some reason.
And every time he shows up at the courthouse, what happens?
Again, later.
And okay, and so my biggest concern before I close out is that they will arrest him. They will keep him in custody, and then they will not allow him to show up for his December 4th hearing as well, where they want to put him back in jail to be treated the
yes,
same way he's been treated. So, folks, you're going to hear more. Please, Injustice in Oklahoma Exposed Facebook page, Journeys to Justice Facebook page, email me, Injustice in Oklahoma at gmail.com. Listeners, please, we need you and your support. And thank you so very much for tuning in again tonight. And for the new listeners, keep tuning in. Share this information. And we want to wish you all a warm, peaceful, loving Thanksgiving. And think about those that can't have it. Thanks for tuning in to TNT China Talks, where your voice is heard and your story is told. I'm Marty Oakley, TS Radio and Stephen Burke, 89.9 KLRB FM station in Stuart, Oklahoma. Good night.